leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here live. We've got a very important show today because America is really at a crossroads. A crossroads, I think, of corruption. Of course, it was probably less than 2 weeks ago that Alex had Colonel Pete Martino in here, retired Marine colonel, and he was talking about how the real issue before America that impinges upon all of these other issues, whether it's the police state or the drug war, is really an issue of corruption. And I think this is really brought to the forefront now here in a story that's breaking here in Austin about the indictment of Governor Perry here. This is two felony accounts that they're coming at him with. It was a story of local corruption a year ago. And we're going to show those of you who weren't following this. I think we covered it a little bit, just talking about how outrageous it was that we could have the highest law enforcement agent in the county behave this way and refuse to resign. Strictly because of political reasons, the Democrat Party is supporting her, keeping her in office, even though it reveals some very, very troubling character issues with this district attorney, who is actually in charge of the state public integrity unit. LOL. I guess they need to put that in back of it. And so they're like, LLC, I guess. If she's in charge of it, they ought to call it public integrity unit, LOL. Because she was getting $7.5 million of state funds, and Rick Perry said, if you're going to do that, we're going to have somebody who actually hasn't damaged their integrity publicly. We're going to be talking about that in the next segment. We've got clips of that coming up for you. Alex Jones is going to be coming up with Max Kaiser, and we've got a lot of breaking news from Ferguson. We have a lot of new news from last night. Of course, our crew is still there, and there were more tear gassings last night. Of course, there's a difference in the way the mainstream media, especially CNN, is reporting it and the way that it really happened. And we have people there on the streets. We have Jakari Jackson, Joe Biggs, and Josh Owens are there on the street reporting this. So we're going to tell you what really happened, not what the police press report says. And we're going to take a look at what's going on. This has become, of course, a very large national story. It was just last Friday. More than 1,000 people marched in Times Square protesting what was happening in Ferguson. Because what is happening in Ferguson is something that we're seeing over and over and over again. The militarization of the police. Yet we see the feds, especially Attorney General Eric Holder, pretending that this is somehow something that is unique to that particular area. No, the reason this is a national story is because the militarization of the police is something that's being done by the federal government. They're changing the rules of engagement. They're changing the way that they treat the citizens on the street. They're changing the way that they're equipped. And they're encouraging them into this kind of confrontational belligerence. That's coming from the feds. And so for the federal government to come in and say that they're going to now be the saviors riding in on a white horse is a little bit hypocritical. It's way hypocritical. So we're going to be talking about that. Of course, the governor of Missouri, Governor Nixon, has been on several of the Sunday political talk shows. We're going to talk about what he's saying. We're going to look at it from the perspective of eyewitness reports. We're now having some eyewitness reports surfacing. A little bit of contradictory information from some of these, so we're going to take a look at that, and also the Second Amendment and how that impinges upon all of this. Of course, we've talked about how the people who did not suffer from looting were the store owners who stood there with guns to protect themselves because the police were standing down. The police don't seem to be able in Ferguson, as in many other places, to distinguish between stepping up and protecting people from looters or coming after peaceful protesters. They stand down when they see looters, but when they see peaceful protesters, they seem to get aggressive. The people who stood there protecting their property with firearms were the ones who didn't have their businesses burned down. And yet we see a court decision coming out of Maryland saying that AR-15s are unusual weapons and we don't need to be allowed to have those. So we're going to be coming back with more information about that and other court decisions that have surfaced recently about the Second Amendment and how it impinges on your rights to protect yourself, whether it's from looters or an overly aggressive government. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright band, picking up every one of them. Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in. I would have done it.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
We just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough. 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 Enough.
Mayor Bloomberg, how you doing? Jason, I grew up in Brooklyn. Okay. In the spirit of gun control, will you disarm your entire security team?
Get right back to you.
You'll get back to me?
They may feel that it's part of a romanticized culture. There's an aspect of this, a kind of Wild West cowboy Dirty Harry aspect. There's also an aspect.
So they're macho men and they gotta have a gun.
Go ahead, make my day.
Anybody that wants to disarm me can drop dead.
A trio of would-be burglars picked the wrong Albuquerque house to break into. Police say when the three teens pried open the door, a brave little girl was waiting for them, locked and loaded.
It's harder to use an assault weapon to hit something than it is a shotgun, okay?
You don't need an AR-15. It's harder to aim, it's harder to use. In fact, you don't need 30 rounds to protect yourself. Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun.
Vice President Biden and I had a meeting with a group of technology people and talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification, the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear.
Anybody that wants to make me unarmed and helpless, people that want to literally create the proven places where more innocents are killed, called gun-free zones, we're going to beat you. We're going to vote you out of office or suck on my machine gun.
That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
I believe that as Americans, we have a right to arm ourselves against criminals, but we don't need the ability to arm ourselves against the army or the police. The United States military is not out to get us.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
The Second Amendment is there, put in there not for hunting and fishing like they like to say. Because back when they did it, if you didn't hunt or fish, you didn't eat. It was put in there so the citizens would have the ability, if their government became oppressive, they could defend themselves against oppressive government.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
I'm the hootin'est, tootin'est, shootin'est, bobtail wildcat in the West.
I don't want that man to have a gun. I wouldn't feel comfortable having an argument with him in his home where he had access to his 50 weapons.
Challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that. In uniform.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
All right, welcome to this Sunday edition of The Alex Jones Show. It's Sunday, August 17th, 2014. I'm David Knight here in Austin. We have Alex Jones coming up with Max Kaiser. There's some breaking news, of course, in Ferguson. Our reporters are there covering that live. And again, there was more tear gas last night against demonstrators who were exercising their First Amendment rights to protest and to redress their grievances. And they have some serious grievances, especially after what the police have done this last week. We're going to talk about the history of that police force, a very troubling history that is now coming to the forefront. We're going to talk about what's being done by the federal government, how Eric Holder is trying to spin this, and take over the narrative, pretending that the federal government is the savior coming in to on a horse to take this away from everybody, because, you know, they had nothing to do with these militarized vehicles. He complains about how militarized the police are there. How did they get those weapons, those vehicles, that training? Well, of course, it has been coming from the federal government. We've been talking about that for a very long time. For years, we've been talking about it. All we hear from the mainstream media is scoffs when we talk about 2,700 MRAPs, about 2 billion rounds of ammunition, about all these vehicles being put in very small police towns, encouraging these people, telling them you need a mine-resistant armored personnel carrier. This is what's happening from the federal government, and yet they're coming in as if they're going to save the day. Of course, this is really all about corruption. And as Alex Jones had a couple of weeks ago, retired Colonel Pete Martino, who got involved in this because of the federal government militarizing a small town in New Hampshire where he lived, he said, "Can't you see what they're doing to our country?" He had seen this abroad when he was fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he said, it's about the mission statement. What is the mission of our various agencies? They've lost their way. They've lost their way from the top down. It's really fundamentally about corruption. And I think a good example of this is what's happened here just this last weekend. Late on Friday, there was breaking news that Governor Rick Perry has been indicted for abuse of office and for coercion. Yes, it's a story about corruption, but that's not the story. I think the real story is the corruption that is encouraged and tolerated because it can result in political gain. And what we see with what was about it was a local story, I guess about a month, it was 4 months ago, a year, it was back in April of 2013, that the district attorney here in Travis County, the highest ranking law enforcement official here in Travis County and in the state, was convicted of drunk driving. And what happened there, it wasn't just a single drunk driving conviction, but it was the way that it happened. And I want to play for you a short tape of this. And if you're watching this, you can see the B-roll of how she reacted once she was arrested for drunk driving. Here's a little clip.
And you're going to ruin my career.
And that's fine.
That's not the intent of what I'm here for.
And I just...
Now, that clip is... She just keeps going on about her career. She can barely stand up. You don't see it in that clip right there, but we have some other clips where there's a very long, about a 15-minute video that they recorded on the police car dash cam, and she was staggering so much that both officers had to help her. Now, they didn't pull her over. She was reported to the police by a motorist. It was so bad. She was going across the lanes. She was actually three times the legal limit. She had an open bottle of vodka in the car. She told the police that she'd had some vodka. Later, she changed her story saying that she'd had a few glasses of wine while she was watching a movie. Maybe both of those are true. I don't know. But she got very abusive. You can see in this B-roll that we've been running here, she got so abusive in the jail, so violent, that they had to constrain her. She just kept shouting about her career. "You're doing this to my career." Absolutely no concern about the danger that she put people in on the road, simply concerned about her career. And of course, the Democrats did not want her to step down. Even though it was very embarrassing for her and for the Democrats to stand behind her, they didn't want Perry to appoint a Republican in her place. So instead, they stood with the corruption because it suited their power play. It was purely political that they stood with her. Now, the interesting thing about this and where this comes in to charges against Governor Perry is that she was in charge of a state fund where she had $7.5 million as part of the, quote, public integrity unit. That's right. Somebody who was screaming abusively at the people in jail, so much so that they had to constrain her, who was picked up for three times the legal limit and didn't have the integrity to step down. Instead, she wanted to run this office and have the public trust. And they were getting $7.5 million worth of state funds. So Perry said, basically, either she steps down or I'm not going to give state funds to that organization. Instead, what they have now done is come against Rick Perry and charge him with felonies for exercising his gubernatorial veto, what he has a legitimate right to do. Now stay with us. We're going to be joining our reporters in Ferguson, Missouri, Jakari Jackson, Joe Biggs. They're going to tell us what happened last night and what's going on right now. There was more tear gas last night. Stay with us.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, August 17th, 2014. I'm David Knight. Alex is going to be coming up with Max Keiser, and we have on the phone with us now, we have Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs. They're in Ferguson, Missouri, where the riots have been going, and there's some updates from last night. We had some more confrontations with the police and protesters, peaceful protesters, and we're going to talk to them about what happened and what their plans are, what's going on today. There's a lot of news coming out of there and a lot of different angles that are coming out of this. Of course, the federal government is trying to pretend that they're going to save the local residents. Many of them are buying that, even though it was the federal government that started the militarization of the police. So we need to talk about this as a country. We need to have a discussion. As Rand Paul pointed out last week, the real issue is the militarization of the police. But there's also some eyewitness reports that are coming out of the area. We're going to talk about those. And, of course, there is Second Amendment news, because we had a district judge in Maryland rule on a Maryland law saying that the AR-15 bans that Maryland has put in, along with other so-called assault rifles, the court seriously doubts that these banned assault long guns are commonly possessed for lawful purposes. And it's inclined to find that the weapons fall outside of the Second Amendment protection because they are dangerous and unusual. So there you have it. A federal judge that was appointed by Clinton is saying that AR-15s are dangerous and unusual weapons that are not protected by the Second Amendment. Clearly, the Second Amendment was about military weapons because it was talking about the militia being used to defend the country. And, of course, the Constitution says that the militia is there to put down insurrections and invasions. It's a military perspective. But, of course, it also falls into being able to protect yourself. And we've seen in Ferguson, Missouri, that the store owners who still have stores in the areas where they were looting and burning stores were the ones who stood there with guns, many of them AR-15s, because they're far more effective than shotguns in many cases. Now, just before we came up to the break, we were talking about what's going on here and the corruption that we see in government. And, of course, the corruption of our police forces by militarizing them, the corruption that comes from not understanding, as retired Colonel Pete Martino said, not understanding the mission statement. Well, the mission statement is laid out pretty clearly in the Constitution as to what the government is supposed to do. So it starts from the top down. It starts from the federal government down. But we also see that it is now moving up from a local story here in Austin to a national story, as what began last April, I guess it was about a year and 4 months ago, there was a drunk driving arrest of the district attorney here who happened to be in charge of the state public integrity unit that got $7.5 million from the state government. And it was such an egregious arrest. It was videotaped both by the dash cam of the police and also because she was so abusive physically, verbally in the jail that they began videotaping it. That all eventually came out. It was a local story at first, but then she refused to stand down when Governor Perry tried to get her to resign. Of course, she didn't have enough integrity to resign. The Democrat Party didn't want her to resign because they wanted the power. They didn't care what kind of person was in charge. And this is what they've used that organization for in the past. This is from the Washington Post. And of course, they make it sound as if Governor Perry defunded her entire department. Of course, she's district attorney for the county, but it was the public integrity unit that was not going to get $7.5 million of state money. They say that her predecessor indicted then Senator K. Billy Hutchinson, who was a Republican and he was a Democrat, for allegedly misusing state resources when she was state treasurer. They say, and this is a Washington Post reporting, the prosecution crumbled on the first day of the trial. The same guy, the predecessor of Rosemary Lindbergh, his name is Ronnie Earle, he also brought a case against then-House Whip Tom DeLay, again, another national story, for violations of Texas campaign finance laws. He got a conviction, but that conviction was overturned. Now we have Rosemary Lindbergh, who, even though she had this egregious incident as a drunken driver, as she was three times the legal limit. She was given 45 days in jail, only served half that time. Her license was suspended for 6 months. And as a person in charge of the public integrity unit, Rick Perry wanted her to step down. But instead of doing that, she is fighting back. And they got an indictment against Rick Perry, charging him with coercion and abuse of office because he vetoed the funding for that organization. Now, there are things that they could come after Rick Perry for, probably, like the Gardasil connection. We've talked about that many times, how they were trying to make it mandatory in the schools for all the children to have Gardasil. And, of course, there were ethical connections to people who had been on Rick Perry's staff that now worked for the company that made Gardasil. An egregious civil liberties violation and one where you could make some connections. But, of course, that wasn't investigated by their office. No, that wasn't investigated. And, of course, you have the situations where the Clintons are collecting hundreds of millions of dollars in speeches, typically getting $250,000 for each speech. And, of course, there was an article in the Las Vegas Review that just came out, said high fashion and expense for Hillary travel. I guess you could file this under the Devil Wears Prada. They say she insists on staying in presidential suites of luxury hotels whenever she speaks, including when she's coming to Las Vegas. She usually requires those who pay her six-figure fees for speeches to also provide a private jet for transportation. Only a $39 million 16-passenger Gulfstream or larger will do. And then, of course, she makes demands about how she will stay at the event no longer than 90 minutes. She will pose for no more than 50 photos with no more than 100 people. She won't allow any press coverage or video or audio taping of her speech. The only record will be by a stenographer whose transcription will be given only to Mrs. Clinton. And the stenographer's $1,250 bill, of course, will go to the University of Las Vegas in this particular incident, where she's getting paid $250,000 to speak to them. This is an event where she's getting paid $250,000, and they have many corporations who are paying for $20,000 tables. Corporations like Bank of America, Barnes & Noble, Barrick Gold, Wells Fargo, that type of thing. When you see these kind of extravagant speakers' fees, when you see these extravagant prices being paid for people to get close to them, this is nothing but money laundering of political influence. It is a kind of corruption that ought to be truly investigated. Instead, they're charging Rick Perry with felony violations because he tried to get this drunken DA to stand down from being ahead of the public integrity office. That's amazing. That's where we are. Instead of having any integrity, they come after the people who try to stop some of it. And again, like I said, Rick Perry is not somebody that I agree with on everything. On many issues, I have a lot of disagreements with Rick Perry, and I think there may be some ethical issues, but it certainly isn't this one. Let's go now to our reporters in Ferguson, Missouri. They're covering what's happening there, and there were some incidents last night, of course. There was a curfew imposed, and we're going to be doing that in the very next segment as we come back. There was more tear gassing of protesters, as well as our reporters who were standing with the protesters. They were not in the sequestered area that the mainstream media was reporting on. And so there's a very different perspective from the mainstream media and what our reporters saw behind the lines with the protesters exercising their First Amendment rights. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin, and we're joined now by Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs and Ja'Kari Jackson reporting from Ferguson, Missouri, where last night there were more tear gassing of protesters. They imposed a curfew. As the curfew passed, they began shooting what the AP and KMOV reported there locally, saying that there was multiple smoke canisters and at least one tear gas canister into the crowd. At least one. Well, I don't think that's what our reporters experienced there. Is that what you experienced, Joe?
Negative, David. Joe Biggs here. We're right outside of Ferguson in St. Louis, Infowars.com. Last night, I have never been so angry to go through what I went through and then come out and have everyone back there people across America, even in Australia, Ireland, texting me, writing me, saying, hey, CNN, Fox News, all these people are saying that tear gas wasn't shot. You know, none of this stuff happened. I'm telling you right now, those guys, like sheep, sat in their little holding pens and were afraid to go out and actually report on what was really going on. Jakari, Josh, and I got out there, went on the front lines, left that little media holding area, and reported and live streamed from that area. And there was not one tear gas canister thrown. There were multiple. I would say up to 20 to 30. And what also the mainstream media is saying right now, too, is that gunshots were fired, and that's what incited the police officers to come and assault the protesters. That's complete and total BS. That is not it.
Well, people can see your live.
That angers me. It boils my blood. Like now, I have goosebumps. I can feel them coming up right now. I do not like this because I was sitting out there. They were shooting gas canisters at us, flashbangs going off. I heard gunshots from the police first. Then I heard gunshots from the protest side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a guy hit the ground, and they grabbed him and picked him up and moved him out of there.
Wow.
It was complete and total chaos. And it was the same guys who were here Wednesday night when everything hit the fan. And we were told that these guys would be pulled out. They would not be put back out here on the streets again. And the state troopers left last night, David. They were pulled out, and they brought in the same thugs, the same militarized police force that was here Wednesday night, and they let them come out here and run the whole thing.
Well, let's talk about what the media is covering about this first, because we've got a report up on InfoWars.com showing you guys there live, showing what happened as you guys were reporting it. You were live streaming what was going on. You were not, as you pointed out, back in the holding area. We've got some video showing what the holding area was. They had most of the media was back in a covered area, back behind the police. There you can see it if you're watching this broadcast right now. They're standing there, and they're reporting that at some point they say, we hear some explosions further out. They're not exactly what's going on because they're about a mile away. So they're relying on the police to tell them what's going on. And then we have this report showing how CNN initially reported that there was tear gas. And then they walked it back when the police came up to them and said, no, it wasn't tear gas. It was smoke. And then we even have a Twitter feed from someone named Matt Ford who shows a Riot CS smoke projectile. He's got the actual picture of it. And he says, CS smoke is tear gas. That's what they were shooting at people. Today, what they're saying, I hear on CNN, they're actually saying that they fired smoke, then tear gas. So CNN is shifting their story around constantly, but what you guys experienced right away was tear gas. People can see Jakari smoking and coughing and gagging on the tear gas there as he's trying to report that as you guys were live streaming.
Well, I'm going to tell you why CNN changed their story, David. And that's a little part of my on my side. When the police were chasing us in their MRAPs down the road with sniper rifle dots on us, I had to run about 5 miles out of the town, come around, and then come back to my vehicle. And that last mile that I was heading in, Dew sent me a picture, a screenshot of CNN saying that they're only shooting smoke. And I was so angry, I swear, that I had so much motivation that last mile. The only thing that was on my mind was to find that guy reporting live at CNN. And I tell you, I did this last night. I went in front of all those cameras and I said, you're a coward. You guys are the Coward News Network. You won't even get out of this holding area. And you're lying to the American people saying that the tear gas wasn't fired. You need to go out and do your job. Go back to school and learn how to be a real journalist. Because what you're doing is you're deceiving the American people. You're lying. And everything you do is crap. And everyone's looking at me like, oh, my God, you know what's going on? They actually shot tear gas. I'm like, do you see my eyes swelling up? You think I'm lying? Does smoke do that? This is CS gas. David, CS gas is banned by military use in other countries. We can't use it over there. The military. I can't go to Iraq or Afghanistan and shoot CS gas on combatants at all because it's dangerous.
Like Hollow Point.
Why can our police use it on citizens in Ferguson, Missouri?
Exactly. Like Hollow Point bullets that Homeland Security has bought. $2 billion of those are banned for use by the military because they're anti-personnel. Well, Joe, what I want to talk about is the fact that they imposed this curfew. Like you said, it was the same guys. They were going to tell everybody that they're going to now play nice and they're going to all get along with each other. And instead, they start drawing these arbitrary lines, trying to make sure that people are going to cross over those lines. When Jakari interviewed the fellow that's now in charge, that was put in charge after they took the county sheriff's department out of control there, supposedly. When he asked them what they were going to do if people violated the curfew, he wouldn't say. But there was a lady there who said, you've got a 12 o'clock curfew here, but in the surrounding communities, they put in a 10 o'clock curfew. So basically, they were kettling everybody by curfews in there. And it bothers me that they would make the First Amendment right to protest, that they would constrict that to areas, as we saw in Nevada, but they're now constricting it, of course, to time, saying that you can't protest beyond a certain time. If people are peacefully protesting, I don't think there should be a time limit on it. I don't think they should be able to cordon off areas and say, this is your First Amendment area. This is your free speech zone. That's not free speech. And when the media voluntarily does that and retires themselves back to the lines behind the police, stays within their little confined areas, we're not going to see the truth. That's why InfoWars is there with our reporters.
Well, yeah, I went and asked one of the police officers, I said, hey, where can I actually be? And he said, oh, you can be in this little spot over here in the gas station, the liquor store where Mike Brown supposedly had robbed it before he got killed. I said, okay. I said, so once the 12 o'clock curfew is set in, am I allowed to go out? They're like, no, if you go out here, you're subject to arrest. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I was like, our job is to report on both sides of what's going on. So you're telling me I can't be there. And then multiple media sources came around. They were watching, filming, saying, oh, what did he just say? And he's like, are they telling you that we are limited as to what we can see? I'm like, yes. And then they were giving disinformation to CNN and Fox News and all these guys sitting over there saying, oh, we're just shooting smoke. You know, just go ahead and report on that. You know, never mind the guys out there that are screaming and throwing up in the streets in pure chaos like it's a war zone. It was crap. And over the course of the week, there were three different types of people there, David. There were the peaceful protesters who are mourning the loss of someone in their community. Then you had the human rights activists, the ones who said, hey, we're not going to stand up to a corrupt government. They can't tell us when we can go home. And then you had the crazy people from outside of town, the looters, the ones who were using a tragic incident as a way to unleash anger they've had pent up for years and destroy a community they cared nothing about. We walked up, we were filming a bus stop area where glass was shattered, where I had watched a live feed the night before, where two guys were throwing a trash can against it until it busted and collapsed. And it was a guy there from Compton. And we said, hey, what do you think about what's going on? He's like, I don't care. Let Ferguson burn. He's like, let it burn down. He's like, it's not my town. I don't care. So there are people from the outside of the community who don't care. They're the ones who are causing all the chaos out there. The people who live there, for the most part, wanted a peaceful resolution. And you get those bad apples who come out there and start throwing bottles, start throwing Molotov cocktails, and they're inciting violence by the police, helping our government say, hey, guess what? You need curfews. You need a police state. Hell, Obama. Oh, yes. We need all this. It's ridiculous.
Yes, they use that as a beard. You know, I saw on Fox News a pretty amazing segment. You had Mike Huckabee talking about militarization of the police. Finally. I'm glad that he's finally talking about it. But as he's talking about it, Fox News starts running B-roll behind him of looters, essentially undermining everything he's saying about not being confrontational, not militarizing the police, not coming out there in army uniforms to come at people. As he's saying that, they're showing visually just the opposite to try to move that dialogue along, that we need more police. We need the police to be militarized. We have a real threat we need to be protected from. Stay with us. We're going to be right back on. I know you've got to go. I'm going to keep you for just about another 5 minutes if you can stay, Joe. Stay with us.
It's always a tough vote because the average person thinks raising the debt ceiling must mean that we're running up our debt. Raising the debt ceiling, which has been done over 100 times, does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy. All it does is it says, you got to pay the bills that you've already racked up, Congress.
Just got paid today. Got me a pocket full of change.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in Austin, and we have in Ferguson, Missouri, the InfoWars crew, and they have just a few minutes to spend with us, so I want to get right back to Jakari Jackson. We were just talking to Joe Biggs, who's reporting from there. I want to get Jakari's perspective last night, because it was Jakari's video that I saw, as well as Joe Biggs. They were both getting attacked by the police there as they were standing out where the demonstrators were, where the peaceful demonstrators were standing, and they were tear gassed, although the media reported that it was simply smoke because the media was standing probably about a mile away with the police and just relying on police reports. Jakari, what are your feelings about this today as you see the disparity between what you experienced and what you see the media saying?
Ja'Kari Jackson reporting from the St. Louis area. You're exactly right, David. And I have to echo just what you said, talking about how the media is just pretty much regurgitating what they're being told by the police, whether it was how the police officers were helping the Huffington Post, excuse me, not the Huffington Post, Al Jazeera, when they were shooting rubber bullets and also smoke canisters at them. They said, oh, we're just helping them out, and they thanked them for that situation. And you guys saw the interview. That was not the case at all. And also last night, that's not tear gas. Those are smoke grenades. Now, you know, maybe we're playing a semantic game here, David, just like we heard in the Christopher Dorner situation, flashbangs or burners. Maybe, you know, they call smoke grenades something else. But whatever they fired in that first wave did contain tear gas. It was not just a visual deterrent. You know, that first those first few canisters that hit the ground, I was close to one. And you guys saw that video, man. I was sniffing and snotting and, you know, I couldn't even breathe. We had the gas mask on, but mine wasn't tight enough at the time to really help me get through that situation. It was burning my eyes. It's a very dangerous substance, just like Joe Biggs said. You can't use this against a foreign combatant. So why would you use this against American citizens in the United States of America, most of whom were peaceful? You know, we were in that crowd that they said the gentleman had the gun. I did not personally witness that. Yes, there were hotheads out there making threats towards the police, F the police. You know, somebody said, you know, you shoot us, we'll shoot back. All that rhetoric was going on, but I did not personally see somebody with the gun, but I did see somebody fall down after hearing a gunshot, which more than likely did probably come from somebody in the protester area. But the police are saying that they fired the smoke canisters after that event. That is not the case. You know, people were standing in the streets slowly. Yes, they were slowly advancing towards to where the police were, where they had a line all the way across the streets. But the police shot the smoke canisters before the shots were fired from the crowd.
It looked like you guys were getting rubber bullets fired at you as well.
Yeah, they were shooting something. I didn't get hit by one. It looked like some things were skidding across the ground, more than likely rubber bullets. So, you know, they were definitely willing to show their heavy hand at squashing this protest of largely peaceful protesters. And I had a chance to talk to one of the officers off camera. And he's saying, yeah, you know, you have 95...
Hang on, yep. Ja'Kari. John Bound just put up a clip here for people that are watching. There was a Huffington Post reporter, and he took a picture of some earplugs. You know how soft earplugs
yes,
are.
Yeah.
And he says, I need to get confirmation. I think I found some rubber bullets. I don't think those things would hurt anybody actually shoot those.
No, those weren't rubber bullets. I'm not going to get on the guy too bad. I just guess he's never been to a situation where he had encountered earplugs before. But no, those were not rubber bullets at all. We had some.
One of them hit Joe Biggs. If he's there, if he could show us how that bruise is expanding out.
They want to see your bruise. Come on here, Joe. And Joe, I guess you want to make a comment about the rubber bullets.
Man.
I'll tell you right now, I saw the guy in the hotel this morning, and I said, those were the rubber bullets fired, huh? And he goes, yeah. I was like, yeah, those are earplugs. And I was like, you're a correspondent, you're a on the streets kind of journalist guy. I was like, yeah, you might need to learn the difference between earplugs and rubber bullets.
Well, he's Huffington Post. They don't really understand what an assault rifle is. They've never had a definition of an assault rifle, so they can't tell the difference between earplugs and rubber bullets either.
A lot of these guys were in the free speech zone, and we were there for a little while until we realized that, you know, all the stuff was going on down the street. So we moved out of the free speech zone. A couple activists, local activists, went with us as well, because people are not only there mourning the death of Mike Brown. You also had just First Amendment activists who came out there to exercise their rights as well. And I understand that 100%. You know, it's, you know, as much as people want justice for Mike Brown, and I can understand that, you know, also want people, you also have people out there who want to be able to just walk down the street. They don't want to have to sacrifice one or the other. We can have our free speech or our right to assemble. We want them both, and we want them at all times. And like I said, that was probably the smallest crowd we've seen out there at any time of the day since we've been here. You know, it was probably just a couple hundred people right before the curfew went into effect. And then you had maybe 200 or so when it actually hit the fan. But, you know, you wouldn't know that from watching the mainstream media, because they were comfortably in the free speech zone, zooming in with those super long lenses. You know, we were right there in the thick of it, getting smoked, getting hit by the smoke. They also chased me and Joe Biggs through a neighborhood, once again chased by the police. I've only ran from the police twice in my lifetime, David, and both times were on this trip while they were shooting at me and chasing me with MRAP trucks.
Well, you guys have been in the thick of it. Thank you for getting the story. You've done a great job. I know you've got to get going. It's been very dangerous there for everyone, not just you. Yeah. But and it's a sad condition, a sad commentary on our country when the police are attacking peaceful protesters who are exercising their First Amendment rights, and when they are attacking the press and trying to constrain the press. To me, that is a real story. We've got some conflicting eyewitness reports that are coming out about what happened in the initial shooting that started all of this. And that's going to work its way out in the courts, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have a quick resolution of that. But I think the real story is the way the police have reacted, the way they have shut down free speech, the way they have attacked the press, especially those Al Jazeera shots. And you had some great shots from behind. Everybody saw those iconic photos from the side. You had actually the audio from behind as they were being fired upon, another perspective that was a very useful perspective, a great interview that you had with the Al Jazeera reporter. Well, thank you, guys. I'll let you get going. Thanks for keeping us updated on that. Stay safe.
Thank you, David.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of news today in Ferguson. Of course, the governor of Missouri, Governor Nixon, has been making the Sunday News Show rounds. He was on This Week, as well as Meet the Press. And he's telling the prosecutor that he needs to step up and do his job. And I think that's a real important thing for them to quickly expedite this trial, this hearing, to show the evidence. I think one of the things that concerns people so much is, of course, the past history. There's always, in a police department, if you have situations in the past where there's been some egregious behavior by the police that hasn't been thoroughly investigated, of course, that is the case here. We see in some history of the Ferguson Police Force. But if they could only bring this up quickly. They confiscated eyewitnesses' accounts. They confiscated their video and audio recordings of what had happened. We want to see that evidence. Now, the district attorney is saying that he's going to bring this before the grand jury in just days, but a lot of people there are not happy about the district attorney himself. 20,000 people have signed a petition drive for a special prosecutor, as opposed to having the prosecutor that's there, Mr. McCullough. This is the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis. They said they reviewed the previously secret grand jury tapes in a previous case and found in this previous case that his public statements were untrue. This was a situation where a couple of detectives killed a suspect in a passenger car. They said that he was moving the car towards him. However, when they eventually got to the grand jury tapes, because grand jury tapes, when they indict people, are secret, what they found was that only 3 of the 13 detectives who testified said that the car had moved forward in the direction of the 2 officers who shot the man and his passenger. 2 of those 3 who said it was moving forward were the ones who were doing the shooting. The 3rd who said it was moving forward was a detective that McCullough later said considered charging with perjury because his account was so at odds with the facts. So you've got this St. Louis County prosecuting attorney, Bob McCullough, who has presided over this case that a lot of people were very concerned about. It looked like he was supporting the perjury of these 2 cops. They say that they even had a national forensic expert who came there and examined the car and found that the car was actually in reverse, so it couldn't be going towards them. And we also learned on Friday that even though they released these tapes showing that Michael Brown had been in an altercation in a supermarket and had possibly stolen a $50 box of cigars, the police chief then said on Friday, well, that wasn't why the officer had stopped him. It had nothing to do with it. And so the question remains, do we kill people for shoplifting $50 box of cigars? Do we kill people because they get into an altercation, a verbal altercation with the police in a road? When the cop told him to get out of the road and he didn't get into the road, then they get into a verbal altercation, then a fight. And then as he's running away, he gets shot. That appears to be the case. We have some different eyewitness accounts that are surfacing, and we're going to talk about those right after we come back. But it's fundamentally about the abridgment of free speech and the freedom of the press and the militarization of the police that we've been seeing in the process this week. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, August 14th. Alex Jones is coming up in the next segment with Max Kaiser. We were just talking about what's going on in Ferguson, about how they're trying to get a different prosecuting attorney, because the current prosecuting attorney has had some questionable mishandling, I would say, of a previous police shooting. As I was just talking about, three officers testified that a car was moving towards two officers who fired and killed the people in the car, yet 13 officers testified. None of the others said the car was moving forward. They did find that the car was actually in reverse. Out of the three who said that it was moving forward, two of them were the ones who were doing the shooting, and the third was later, as the prosecutor said, suspected of perjury and other things that he was saying. So there's been a troubled history there. There's also an interesting case back in 2009 titled "The Day Ferguson Cops Were Caught in a Bloody Lie." This is from the Daily Beast, and they're talking about a guy who was essentially traveling through the area. He was pulled by the police. He had the same name as someone that they were looking for, but he had a different middle name, also a different Social Security number. They arrested him, even though he was the wrong person. They took him back to jail, and that's when the problem started. As they were putting him in a jail cell, it was early in the morning, and he was asking for a mattress, and they told him to get into the cell, and then they told him to get on the floor and to cover himself. And he said, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you guys doing this to me? They said, just lay on the ground. At that point, all these officers started kicking and beating him. And what they wound up doing was charging this fellow for destruction of property because he bled on their uniforms. You understand? They arrest this innocent black man who has a name that's similar, but they can't be bothered to check the middle name or the Social Security number. They think that he's somebody else that they're looking for. They arrest him, they beat him, and then they charge him with getting blood on their uniforms. That's what people are concerned about. What people are also concerned about is seeing the police double down as a militarized army coming against peaceful protesters who are upset because they believe that this Michael Brown last weekend was shot down as he didn't present a threat to the police at a point where he was no longer a threat to them. And of course, we've seen multiple accounts of this coming out. Some of the first reports came from a lady who had her video and audio that she recorded on her cell phone confiscated by the police. What she said was that he was running away from the police with his hands in the air. Now, the police said that they had gotten into an altercation. Of course, the altercation had nothing to do with the alleged shoplifting of a $50 box of cigars at a convenience store. It was all about a verbal altercation that he got into with a police officer when he was told to get out of the road. A struggle ensued as they began to arrest him. A shot went off, according to the police, in his car, and then he ran away. Now we have some information that has surfaced today from a video that was quite a long video, and nobody had noticed a conversation that was in the background. It was someone who was shooting the fellow who was, at that point, dead. Michael Brown was dead on the street. And as they were filming it and talking about it, there was a conversation that appeared to sound as if one person had seen Michael Brown turn and run at the officer, in which case there would be some justification for him shooting him. However, there has also surfaced another report, and this one is up on Infowars.com, a Twitter exchange that happened at the time of the shooting, right immediately after the shooting. A couple of people are tweeting each other, and one of the guys said he was shot from behind, and the other guy says the first two were from behind. The next five weren't because he turned around. This illustrates why they need to take this to a trial very speedily. There's no reason that this needs to take a very long time to resolve, and there is no reason, when people are upset about this, that the police should resort into full-out military confrontation mode against the demonstrators who are peaceful and against the press who is there to cover it. That's what's been happening this week. Now stay with us. Right after the break, we have Alex Jones and Max Kaiser. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Again, thank you for joining us here on InfoWars Nightly News. It is August 15th, 2014 with continual coverage. We're taking over for Leanne McAdoo. I am your host, Max Kaiser.
Hello, I'm Alex Jones.
And we are the InfoWar. No, seriously, I'm Alex Jones, and that's Max Kaiser. He's here visiting us as he spends time between London and New York City. He's down here working on a documentary film. And I got to say it, Max, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
I remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when you first started promoting Bitcoin, you were an early guy to get in. You said it was going to become this really dominant cryptocurrency. And all these years later, it certainly has become that with WordPress.com, Overstock, Amazon, Target, CVS, Subway, Victoria's Secret. They're all accepting it. So now InfoWarsStore.com is accepting it. And we're even using a company you're involved with as well, the BitPay. And it's been very, very successful. People are excited about it. I've had my questions about it. I didn't want to be involved early, but the people have voted with their currencies going into Bitcoin. They've supported it. We now see houses selling for 1.6 million bitcoins. It's becoming more and more successful. And as you said on my show 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, I guess 2009, so I guess that's about 5 years ago, that it would give the private central banks a run for the money with their fiat currencies. Now, we had a caller in overdrive at the end of the show today, and he was asking, what is your position in it? We want full disclosure on Max Kaiser. That was one question. The other one was, is it a currency, or really, what is Bitcoin, and where do you seriously predict it will go? So, Max Kaiser, 5 minutes on the Bitcoin revolution.
Well, as far as full disclosure goes, I've said from the beginning, going back to 2009, that I've been a buyer of Bitcoin. I've been buying Bitcoin ever since. Obviously, when it was $3 a Bitcoin, I ended up buying a very large position, and I still hold, and I'm very happy I'm holding it. I haven't sold any of my Bitcoin except maybe a few here and there to do some retailing. But I think going forward, the price will continue to go higher. And what's driving the price of Bitcoin, in my opinion, are these financial crises. Remember, it was at $40 a Bitcoin when the banking crisis in Cyprus hit, and it suddenly jumped to $240. And that's really a great application for this crypto technology, is a store of value and safe haven during an era we live in now of banking scandals and banking crises. I think the next major bank to collapse, you'll see Bitcoin trade above 1,000 again and stay above 1,000. And I think it can trade a lot higher from there. Remember, it can be used as a currency, Alex, but it's also primarily its utility is to send money overseas on the internet for virtually no cost. And a great example of that would be somebody's trying to send a relative, let's say they're working in Britain and they want to send £100 to Africa. Well, if they go to an established money wire transfer service like Western Union to send £100, they're going to charge them up to £10. Whereas if you're using Bitcoin to make that transaction, your cost will be virtually zero. And for somebody on the other end of that transaction to save $10 on a transaction like that is very, very meaningful, because they don't make any money.
So we know why the big banks and Western Union are so angry about this, because I've noticed with things like Bitcoin coming in now, it's been driving down the rates that, in my opinion, these loan sharking institutions are unable to charge anymore. So that really is something positive.
It's pro-competition. It's something new, and it makes all of these other entrenched oligopolies, as we call them, stand up, take notice, and either lower their prices to compete or go out of business. So we like competition. I'm pro-competition, free markets and competition. Bitcoin is free market competition in the area of currencies, and it's being adopted around the world. BitPay, as you mentioned, is a company that was the first to offer Bitcoin transactions. They're signing up tens of thousands of merchants all over the world. Hundreds of thousands of merchants accept it now. InfoWars accept it. And just to be clear, people can show up at your store, they can use Bitcoin to buy stuff, and you can instantaneously put that into dollars. You're not holding Bitcoin. You don't have to. You could, but you don't have to hold Bitcoin. You're just using it as a medium of exchange, and you're passing the savings on to your customers. So the customers that would be charged for the credit card transaction or some other means to use your store, those costs are being eliminated. They're being cut by 95% or more. That savings goes right into the pocket of people buying the T-shirts and everything else.
This is a true revolution. And even if Bitcoin itself isn't perfect and has some problems, in my uninformed view, just as a novice looking at it from the outside, It is spurring a revolution of other cryptocurrencies, and now it's creating whole new economies around servicing it that is creating jobs. And I like to liken it to Uber that started around the same time as Bitcoin with the apps. And I'll hardly even get a cab in Austin to the airport, or if I got to pick my car up at the shop, because they usually show up 30, 40 minutes after they're supposed to. They're rude. On average, cabs are nightmares in Austin. They're better in some other cities I've been in. But when I use Uber, it's quick, it's clean. I can track the app in live time as they pull up to get me. And are the cabbies around the world trying, in most cases, to, if you can't beat them, join them with their own apps and service? No. They're trying to shut it down. And I see a parallel between Uber and Bitcoin. And when I see the system trying to crush it and failing over and over again with these artificial crashes, but it bounces back up, that tells me more and more that Bitcoin really could be a winner. But regardless, we can't let them shoot down the idea of independent ways to exchange money and credit and currencies. So again, I salute you for being a trailblazer, Max.
Well, I think the comparison to Uber is a good one. They did come around at about the same time. The words used in the technology space would be disintermediation or disruptive. And in the case of Uber, they are going to put some cab drivers out of business. But somebody said something I thought was very good. They said the reason the Stone Age ended is not because they ran out of stones. Meaning that when technological advances come along, they tend to completely write over the current system with a new paradigm, a new system. Uber's an example, and Bitcoin is another example. All of the ways of doing business in the markets and in the banking sector are being reinvented and re-realized using cryptocurrencies, the open ledger. And there are other cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin. Bitcoin has by far the biggest share of the market, but there are specific coins that do specific things. I created a new coin called Startcoin, which is specifically for my crowdfunding platform, Startjoin. You know, I used to be very big in technology until 9/11 more or less wiped out my company. So I've been quiet in the technology space for a number of years, but now I'm back with something that I think is equally compelling as the stuff that I was doing in the 90s. Crowdfunding meets cryptocurrency. We've got a fantastic project taking a stab at some of the mainstream media in America with a billboard campaign trying to raise $7,000 to take out a billboard that says, you know, Sean Hannity is an idiot. Okay, it's not the most elegant campaign in the world, but it is a bit of fun. It's being crowdfunded. People are raising $5, $10.
I heard a guy raise tens of thousands for potato salad.
Well, in another crowdfunding company, somebody listed that they were looking to raise $10 or something for a potato salad, but it caught fire as a meme on the internet, and they raised $50,000. And that's what happens when you mix finance with the social networking and the meme potential or the viral aspect of the internet.
It's almost the opposite of the stagnation of the ruling technocrats throughout history. It really introduces lightning into the whole equation. That's my concern. I want to go to break, and I want to come back and talk about world events with Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. I want to talk about what I see as more and more of an elite that believes they have a political system and believes they're in control, founding this global corporate government. But if you look at what's really happening following the news closely every day, not just from mainstream news, but alternative and different regions, it's a bunch of disconnected financial oligarchs who've bought off major governments and who aren't really aware militarily, economically, culturally, what they're doing, and that the whole world is lining up against them towards a giant crisis. I want to see if you agree with that. I want you to augment that and expand and give us your breakdown of the short, mid, long term with your predictions straight ahead with more trends with Max Keiser. Then I'm going to break down after he leaves us a detailed report on geoengineering. It's real. It's happening. Manipulation of our Earth's atmosphere. Bill Gates is involved.
All right, what you're listening to is from Friday night's Nightly News. That's what you'll hear as a Prison Planet TV subscriber. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with the second half of that interview with Max Keiser that Alex Jones did last Friday. We'll be right back with that. And as he said, a special report on geoengineering. Stay tuned.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex Jones. Max Keiser from England is our guest. If you just tuned in, he's a former successful stockbroker. And, he, of course, invented a lot of the virtual trading systems that are used today. And he's also been a syndicated radio host and syndicated television host and made a lot of accurate predictions on our show. MaxKeiser.com is his main website. Of course, I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. And we ask, of course, Infowars Nightly News. And I'm excited that a lot of what airs on Infowars Nightly News is also being picked up by our syndicated AM and FM affiliates on their own accord, and they are airing a lot of the nightly news on their own shows or in little vignettes on their stations. So it's incredible, Max, how hungry people are for something that isn't controlled left or controlled right, but just has a pro-liberty, common-sense bent. And that is certainly our bias to tell the truth and promote a new renaissance of freedom. I know you've said many times that that's basically your political perspective as well for new listeners out there. But in the time we have in this segment, we see massive political engineering going on. We see huge turmoil. Just last week, Secretary of Defense said the whole world's blowing up. 2 weeks before, the White House press secretary said we've had unparalleled prosperity and tranquility during Obama. That's like saying 2 + 2 = 5. Or earlier in the week in Ferguson, when our reporters got attacked with rubber bullets along with the Washington Post and Al Jazeera, the police said they were helping us, that we'd asked to have that done when they knocked the cameras over. That was on Fox News. So we see CNN, MSNBC lying at record levels, Fox News just reporting whatever the police say. We're not even against the police in Ferguson. It just seems like the age of lies and fraud has kicked into overdrive. And then we see Russia having a convoy blown up by Ukraine last Friday. We just see unparalleled things happening right now. U.S. armor being sent to the border, a dollar devaluation accelerating. What are your short, medium, and long-term predictions? And what is the state of the world right now, Max Keiser?
Well, give a little background. For the past 30 years, the big Western economies and economies around the world have tried to sustain their growth using only monetary policy. That is to say, they've been printing money instead of programs or instead of policies that would increase things like manufacturing. They've been doing whatever they can to lower the cost for corporations and to make up any shortfalls by just printing money. And right now, in 2014, we see the result of 30 years of monetization fail, a huge failure. And so these countries that are really become corporocracies, vehicles for companies, are now battling for remaining world resources after having now come to the conclusion that their attempt to aggregate their own pockets purely by printing money, purely by monetary policy, is now at the end game. So they're going to go into a more of a hot war situation. So resources like water, resources like energy, resources like agriculture. We see this happening in Ukraine. I think Ukraine is an example of what happens when an agriculturally rich country like Ukraine, which also will have a pipeline going through it coming from Russia, Iran, suddenly catches the eye of the expanding Western European and the American forces that are not able to generate any GDP growth in those countries by printing more money. It used to be that if you printed a bunch of money, you could create some GDP growth. Now, the debts are skyrocketing. They keep printing money, but these debts are still going rapidly out of control.
So conquest by counterfeit fiat derivative
has failed.
Is coming to an end.
Yes.
So now they're going back to the old-fashioned conquest by military force.
Correct. I think that's a good summation. So as a result, the money from before the world became monetized is coming back into play, and that would mean gold, that form of money. And I think Bitcoin, which just to follow up on Bitcoin a little bit, Bitcoin is almost digital gold in that sense, in that it has the attributes of gold. There's a limited supply, it's desirable, it's fungible, and it'll be used in this new war. You know, it's interesting, looking at the history, World War I started on horseback, it ended up with the Gatling gun. World War II started with the infantry, it ended up with atomic weapons. World War III, which is where I think we're starting now, is going to start with sanctions, which is a very crude economic warfare technique, and it'll end with cryptocurrencies. In 5 years' time, the world financial map will be redrawn due to cryptocurrencies, the public ledger that's inherent in a cryptocurrency, and the ability to move hundreds of billions of pounds and dollars around the world effortlessly, frictionlessly, using the blockchain, using cryptocurrency. That's my prediction. World War III will be defined by cryptocurrency, principally Bitcoin.
Well, the West engaging in all this economic sabotage is forcing Russia and others into the BRICS. It's forcing them to set up their own financial institutions.
That's true. The BRICS.
They say necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right. The BRICS are creating their own bank to counter the IMF. This is called de-dollarization. So the dollar, which has been world reserve currency since World War II, is losing its use on a daily basis.
It almost seems like our political elite are destroying our system on purpose. Or is it just pure greed? That's my concern. Is before you had generals and dictators and countries, and they made mistakes and things got bad. Now, the suicide bankers you talk about aren't even looking at Russia might nuke us, and we're moving tanks up to their borders and breaking deals we had. They just want Ukraine, and it's just one more notch in their belt. It really seems like the type of thing historically that leads to disaster.
It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme made up of sovereign debt, mostly U.S. sovereign debt. And you know, with a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme, in order for it to keep active, you need to expand the base all the time. We know this from Bernie Madoff. We know this from classic Ponzi schemes and pyramid schemes. So the American economy realizes
is a Ponzi scheme.
That the way to increase the debt of the U.S. sovereign Ponzi scheme fast is to launch another war, because war is incredibly capital intensive.
But I guess we've run out of, like,
well, they've run
third world countries to blow up, so now let's start it with somebody with 20 million nukes.
Exactly.
I mean, 20,000 nukes.
Now they're going up against somebody who has their own energy resources, who has obviously atomic weapons, but they have an enormous legion of hackers, of cyber hackers. I mean, Russia, who is the country we're talking about, is known around the world for having extraordinarily adept cyber hackers and technologists. They're in bed with Iran and China through the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They want to get a pipeline going from that region into Europe. So who's Merkel going to go with? Is she going to side with Russia, China, Iran?
So bottom line, the bravado and the arrogance of the West could be our undoing. Our elite has become completely disconnected from reality. Look at Obama. In 1 minute, how do you see an ending? Where is the dollar going?
It's like in casinos. There's a strategy called the Martingale betting system, where you have a losing bet, but you double down on that losing bet over and over and over again, thinking you're going to win. I think America is doubling down once again on another losing bet, this Russia invasion, more or less. And I think that will be the last bet. I think after that, America goes belly up. The dollar loses world reserve status, and commodities, oil, food, prices in this country are set to double and triple in the next 3 to 4 years.
All right, Max Keiser, thank you so much for being with us. I hope we can hang out some tonight. Folks, we're going to go back to break now and come back with my detailed report on geoengineering straight ahead, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. We don't know how all this is going to end, but one thing's for sure, this is not a boring time to be alive. This is one of those times in history where everything's coming down. Everything is happening right now. This is the time to be informed, the time to be involved, and the time to be spreading the word about the info war. Because if you're watching or listening to this transmission, you are the resistance.
Again, a very interesting perspective from Max Keiser and Alex Jones on cryptocurrencies and our monetary system. That's from Friday night's nightly news, available to subscribers of Prison Planet TV. We're going to be right back with Alex Jones's report on geoengineering. Stay with us.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back, humanity. Alex Jones here. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to break down a subject so incredibly important, I don't even feel worthy to bring you this information. I want to beg all of you listening and watching out there as we simulcast this on television to go out for yourselves, write down some notes, and then use a major search engine to look up these mainstream media articles, university studies, and governmental reports for yourself. Since the early 1990s, it's been partially declassified, and I'm about to go over it, that major Western governments have been secretly adding to jet fuel a whole host of radioactive isotopes, aluminum dioxide, the list goes on, to manipulate the weather on this planet. And when the general public brings it up, they just say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, despite the fact that most of this is hiding in plain view. This is similar to back in 1996-97 with my NSA whistleblower connections, many of which are now public, Wayne Madsen, James Bamford, and others, that the National Security Agency was illegally spying on everything Americans did for social control. Now, folks would call that a conspiracy theory then. It's now known fact. I want to give viewers and radio listeners a chance to write down some key terms and look this up. They kept the Manhattan Project secret. They kept the Tuskegee experiment secret. They've kept literally hundreds of different projects secret until the establishment feels like telling us they were doing it later. In the public documents dealing with weather manipulation, geoengineering, or terraforming, they say it's being done for our own good and to repair the atmosphere. But the scientists, meteorologists, astrophysicists, and others that I've talked to have said what they're spraying and releasing would actually eat holes in the atmosphere and damage the soils of the planet. So let me now race through for you the over 50 or so documents I have here in front of us admitting the geoengineering program that's going on. Council on Foreign Relations, 2008. Geoengineering workshop on planetary scale geoengineering. This is already going on. It's a multi-hundred page report. Go read it. Admitting this is going on. But then they make jokes on the nightly news when I talk about this. Here's another report out of Wired Magazine. Earth dimming skies before and after. Admitting that condensation trails from jet aircraft since the early 1990s has dimmed the planet upwards of 30%. That's from 2009. Pretty darn important. Here's another article. Can a million tons of sulfur dioxide combat climate change? That's their cover for this. And Bill Gates gets billions in taxpayer money a year to carry out these secret projects. He's just one part of it. Here's an InfoWars.com article with the link to the National Patent Office. Spraying the skies, 1975, U.S. patent for powdered contrailed generation. And you look at what they're releasing now in the atmosphere, what's being picked up, it's exactly that. The airlines don't even know. It's at the major jet fuel manufacturers. There's more than 50 patents on this alone for geoengineering. BBC, you notice I'm going through one stack here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more stacks. BBC, why the sun seems to be dimming. Man-made chemtrails. This is a key article from the Pentagon. Weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather by 2025, 1996. Dealing with manipulation of the weather. Department of Defense weather programs, breaking down the control of hurricanes, everything that's been going on since the 60s, declassified in 2004. Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, was interviewed on radio and TV by me. Those interviews are posted at InfoWars.com today from almost 10 years ago. This is key information, ladies and gentlemen. Let's continue. Here's another report. Oral evidence taken before the Science and Technology Committee 2010 in Congress dealing with the geoengineering that's going on. Here's another. Unilateral geoengineering briefing notes. Again, this is put out by Stanford University, who first certified the weather control in 1968 with Ben Livingston, not declassified till the mid-2000s. Let's continue to another key document, indirect and semi-direct aerosol campaign. This is put out by the federal government and more than a dozen major universities dealing with how they are manipulating the weather currently and controlling it. You notice all the droughts, the rest of it. Just like I told you how the NSA operated with precision, I'm telling you from public documents that I have read and interviewing the top experts what's happening. In 1992, a Nobel Prize was won by Paul Crutzen on how to control the weather worldwide with these systems, okay? And you read what he got the prize for. Turned out this was work he did decades before. His plan got implemented. He won the prize because he claims it's to fix the ozone holes. Why aren't you telling the public then about this project if it's supposedly to fix the ozone holes? We've interviewed the physicists, the atmospheric experts. It's pure bull. They're changing our atmosphere. House of Commons, Science and Technology Committee, the regulation of geoengineering, 2010, calling for banning it, talking about how dangerous it is. There's UN treaties on it from 1979. But again, none of this exists, even though I'm giving you all the documentation. I told you in 1996 that the NSA spy grids were to be able to predict the future and mass movements and rig economies. Snowden told you that last year. I'm on record. I know what I'm talking about. We've done our homework. Here's another one put out by Harvard. Stratospheric injection of reflective aerosols on particles by means of aviation fuel additives. Bam. That's how they're compartmentalizing it, where people don't know what's happening. Cirrus cloud seeding using airliners to reduce reflectivity and, quote, save us from the sun as the earth actually gets less light and plants begin to die. All mainline government reports. Get up, write all this down. Watch the video. Take notes. Look it up. Or just say it's racist. And that would be easier, or homophobic. Doesn't have any reflection on reality. Just say it. Be trendy. Wear colorful socks. Grow a beard. You're cool. Everyone worships you. Because you're so trendy. Again, the trend is just ignore all this and just call us conspiracy theorists. Here's the whole Air Force breaking it down, all the rest of it. And separately, then the Air Force comes out and whitewashes it and just says it's ice crystals. No, we know there's natural ice crystals at high altitudes that form. We're not saying it's all weather modification. The point is the weather modification is going on. You can search it. You can watch C-SPAN, where they've had hearings admitting all of it. This is the reality. And you ignore all of this at your total peril. The globalists have created a breakaway civilization. They have created a technocracy. They're playing God. In places like Dubai years ago, they admitted they could control their weather and make it rain and turn the desert green. But here, they don't tell you that a lot of the so-called Doppler towers are really weather control towers. And I was told that in 1999 by a top engineer in microwaves, and didn't even believe it when he gave me the documents, and then years later saw it in the Daily Mail and the Associated Press, but in the Middle East and China, not here. They're doing it with jet trails, with the chemicals. They're doing it with these different microwave systems and relay towers that then resonate with it. They've got over-the-horizon radar is one reason they're spraying this stuff. The point is, we need to know. The public needs to have an investigation. This is hardcore, serious info that government, using our tax money and our ingenuity, has built a breakaway civilization where they put stuff on our water, GMO in our food, they're messing with the weather, they're buying armored vehicles and billions of rounds of ammo and have TV shows bad-mouthing the founding fathers. I mean, we're living in a science fiction movie. And that's what I wanted to break down here on the Nightly News and on syndicated radio stations across the country that pick up this information. Because I'm just somebody that knows how to read public documents off army.mil. I know how to watch C-SPAN hearings about this, where they admit it's all going on. And then CNN and MSNBC says none of it exists and mix it in with space aliens, something we can't prove. All I know is our Earth's being manipulated. This is hardcore serious. Now, that's it for InfoWars Nightly News. Some stations out there will come back after this with David Knight and more. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for now. And if you're watching this transmission or listening, you are the resistance. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. In those last segments, you heard Alex Jones' special report on geoengineering, as well as his interview with Max Keiser talking about cryptocurrencies, about how that's going to affect our monetary system. You can find both of those reports on Alex Jones' YouTube channel. Of course, you would have been able to see them live on Friday if you were a Prison Planet TV subscriber. We have the Nightly News every night at 7 Central, and that's available to InfoWars subscribers. One subscription will allow you to share that with up to 11 other people, so 12 of you can watch it simultaneously. Also, we have all of Alex Jones's documentaries there available for everyone in high resolution. It's a way to support our operation. It's what provides the support for our reporters to go places like Ferguson that we've been talking about. You know, as this was developing in Ferguson, we had a federal court decision about a new Maryland Firearms Act. This was the Maryland Firearms Safety Act of 2013, which makes the possession and open carry of so-called assault weapons illegal. Now, what are assault weapons? There's a lot of confusion about that from the people who want to regulate it, just like we saw the Huffington Post reporter had no clue about the earplugs that he found on the ground, the soft earplugs, the ear protection. He thought they were rubber bullets. Well, rubber bullets are pretty hard. Those things, if you could fire them out of a gun, probably you wouldn't even feel it. Those are soft little squishy pieces of rubber. Anybody that's used them, even if you're not a firearms person, you may have used that kind of hearing protection. There's a lot of confusion about what an assault weapon is. It's essentially banned because of its appearance. And about 50 to 60% of the firearms that are sold would fall under that category because they are AR-15s. Now, this is what the federal judge ruled in this case. This is a U.S. District Judge, Catherine Blake. She was appointed by President Clinton. And this is reported by Investors.com. She issued a ruling that upheld the Maryland law, that is the Maryland's Firearms Safety Act of 2013. And she said, the court seriously doubts that the banned assault long guns are commonly possessed for lawful purposes. And it's inclined to find the weapons fall outside of the Second Amendment protection as dangerous and unusual. That is an egregious lie. Because you can look at the article that's up on Infowars.com of the business owners tweeting pictures of themselves protecting their businesses, and they're holding AR-15s and guns like that. And just yesterday, we saw this report from Fox News there in St. Louis area. They said, quote, there are no police. Ferguson store owners are guarding their own businesses and cite a lack of police response. And in this article, they say looters in Ferguson, Missouri, were met with little police resistance Friday night, and store owners say that they were forced to protect their businesses with their own guns. They said two store owners standing outside the business holding guns told Fox2Now.com that when they called 911, they were sent from one police agency to another and got no response. That's right. You can't get protection with a phone receiver. They said, this is a pastor talking. He said, he told the station, I think the first message is to remind all law enforcement that they are hired to serve and protect. And if they're going to sit back and watch looting, they're not serving us. They're not protecting us. Well, see, that's a fundamental flaw in the way a lot of people view law enforcement. We've had a lot of lawsuits where people have sued the police saying, you didn't show up in time. You didn't do anything to protect me. And over again, we've seen courts say, the police have no responsibility to protect you. They're there to enforce government policy, in many cases against you. Now, there was an interesting case. Now, the one about supporting the Maryland law banning assault rifles, that happened just last Tuesday. As the looting and unrest was going on in Ferguson, they were saying there's no reasonable lawful use for these AR-15s, even as people were protecting their businesses there with assault weapons when the police would not protect them. There is an interesting spin on this. There was a court case on August the 5th, Vaughn versus the City of Chicago. And in this particular case, they said, this is a Washington Post article, says police interference with a person's self-defense, see, not the police protecting somebody, not being obliged to protect you, but when they interfere with your own self-defense, maybe like with gun control laws. Okay, but this is a more direct example. When they interfere with a person's self-defense, when he's faced with imminent danger, plus a failure to protect him against the danger, that may be unconstitutional. Now, in this particular case, you had a man, there was an altercation between two groups. A man named Vaughn left the area before four police officers arrived. They are now named as defendants. When the police officers stood between the two groups trying to disperse the crowd, this fellow, Vaughn, returned to the scene looking for his younger brother. He was carrying a stick to protect himself. One of the officers drew his gun and pointed it at Vaughn and demanded that he drop the stick. He complied. Then a man in the opposing group began yelling obscenities at him, and he picked up the stick again. Again, the officers ordered him to drop the stick. Again, he complied. Then the man who had been shouting obscenities at him made his way through the crowd carrying a metal baseball bat. The defendant officers didn't order that man to stop, didn't order that man to drop his metal bat. Instead, they let him go through, and they watched as he clubbed Vaughn in the head with a bat and then ran from the scene. Vaughn died from this. He died from this. Maybe what we need is bat control, right? Baseball bat control, stick control. No, maybe what we need are police who don't interfere with your right to protect yourself by banning guns. Do we really want the police that we've seen in Ferguson, Missouri, as we've seen the results of this militarization of the police, do we really want them to have a monopoly on the use of force? Can we really trust them for that? I don't think so. Look at what Eric Holder is now saying. He's now pretending that he's astonished and surprised at the militarization of the police. This is reported again by the Washington Post. He's criticizing the police response in Ferguson, saying that he's, quote, deeply concerned about the use of military equipment. Well, where did they get that military equipment? They got it from the same federal government, from the administration that is now putting these over-the-top military equipment in the smallest towns in America. They're the people who are bringing in 13,000 MRAPs from counterinsurgency wars abroad. These are the people where 2,700 of them have been purchased by Homeland Security along with their 2 billion bullets. That's right, they're hollow point bullets that by Geneva Convention even the military can't use in a war. And CS gas, which the military can't use in a war. But they can use that against their own citizens, and they're stockpiling it in massive amounts. And the federal government has set up the rules of engagement that we see playing out on the streets of Ferguson. But Eric Holder is amazed. He's astonished. And he says, at a time when we must seek to rebuild trust between law enforcement and the local community, I'm deeply concerned that the deployment of military equipment and vehicles sends a conflicting message. Yeah, it sends a real conflicting message. It sends a message that his saying that we need to rebuild trust is the conflicting message, because nothing that the government has been doing in their war game scenarios. Joe Biggs, who's there in Ferguson, Missouri right now, Joe Biggs and I walked through one of the facilities, AP Hill, where they are training against the American people as if we are the counterinsurgency, as if we were the counterinsurgency in Iraq or Afghanistan, the people that need to put down. They are militarizing the police. They're going to use the police as military. You can see this in their training scenarios. You can see it in the fusion centers and the NSA snooping, the spying that's going on. You can see it in their war gaming scenarios. They make no bones about it. And then he goes on to pretend that he is surprised and disappointed about the infringements upon the free press. Eric Holder went on to say, and this is the Washington Post reporting it, he said, quote, journalists must not be harassed or prevented from covering a story that needs to be told. He said, and they point out his hypocrisy. They say, this is a stance on behalf of media freedom, noted from a tweet from a Justice Department spokesman who said that the Huffington Post Ryan Riley, who was arrested along with a Washington Post reporter Lowry, was a, quote, gutsy reporter. And they say, that was criticized because this is the same Justice Department that is investigating several journalists, including James Risen, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter who's facing potential jail time for failing to identify a source. So here we go. They're investigating people. They're tracking journalists. They are looking at their phone records. You remember even before the Snowden leaks, we were told that they had gotten all kinds of phone records from the Associated Press, from the mainstream media. Now they're arresting people like the Washington Post reporter and the Huffington Post reporter there in Ferguson, Missouri. When they do that, these guys are starting to pay a little bit of attention, but they still fundamentally go with the government's. There's some footage of that right there. If you haven't seen that, you'd need to take a look at that and read the account of what they did, because these guys were filming them in a McDonald's. They basically arrested them, said, sorry, you got to get going. You got to put that down. You have no right to film me in a McDonald's. There is no expectation of privacy for the police in a public area. There is an expectation of a freedom of the press. There is an expectation of freedom of speech. There is an expectation that we can redress the grievances.